So, if you recall, we were learning Perek Beis Milchus Talmud Torah Halacha Aleph. We covered many different aspects of that halacha. We spoke about the fact that the Rambam requires Hoshavas Malamdei Tinokos. We spoke about why it's Bechol Ir Ve'ir, Bechol Pelech Pelech, Bechol Medina Medina. We spoke about the punishment if they don't... If they don't set up the school system, Tinoka Shabbos Ram. We had a lot, number of chakiris about the nature of the chiyuv on the tzibur. It's not on the yachid, it's on the tzibur. It's financial, it's an extension of the chiyuv of the father. All that we've discussed in the past. Now I want to focus on the last line in Perek Beis Halacha Aleph. And the Rambam says about Tinoka Shabbos Ram, She'ein ha'olam miskayim el behevel pihem shal Tinokos Shabbos Ram. In other words, their study is holding up the world. The source for this Rambam, as the Mefarshim quoted, is a Gemara in Shabbos. Omrei Shlokish Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Nasir. Ein ha'olam miskayim el bishvil hevel tinoko shel beis Rambam. Omalei Rav Papel Abaye. Didi v'didoch mai. You know, we're more mature adults. We're also studying Torah. Why is our Torah inferior to that of the children? And the children's Torah maintains the world and not ours. Omar lei, so Abai answered Rav Papa, Eino dome hevel sheyesh bochet lehevel sheein bochet. There's something unique about the children in the fact that they're pure. They don't know sin. And their hevel is on a different level. It's qualitatively different. Now, amongst the sources quoted by the Mefarshim is a very interesting source in the Zohar. And we'll try to read it in the original, and then we'll try to explain it. Ela raza dehevel yikirahu. For who hevel denafik mipuma, there's something unique and secretive almost, and precious, about the hevel of the children. And the Zohar goes ahead and quotes this Brisa, Ein olam miskayim el behevel pihem shel tinokos beis Ravon shel lo chatu. And the Zohar goes on to say shel lo chatu mamish. In other words, there's no chet in the case of children. Now, one of the mefarshim on the Rambam, which I don't think we've had occasion to mention in the past, is the Nahora Doraisa. And he's very much focused on the Torah that he got from Rav Shneur Zalman Miladi through the generations. The Chabad, you know, Chabad and its understanding specifically of Hilchus Talmud Torah. And let's quote his language. He says, Nira, it appears to me, Shehevel Shein Bo Chet Hu Ad Shehevi Shtei Saros. In other words, as long as they are children and not bar mitzvah, right, in some cases that's around the bend, that last piece, they have the status of Hevel Shein Bo Chet. But he asks the following question. What about the fact that Katan Ochel Nevelos Bezdin Mitzuvin Lafrisho? We have halacha that if a child is eating non-kosher food, let's say he's eating ice cream that's not kosher, we have to separate him from that achila. It sounds like the achila of Nevelos and Trefus on the part of a Katan is a Maisa Vera. Otherwise, why are we separating him from it? But yet we're saying that up until Bar Mitzvah, it's Hevel Shein Bo Chet. Now, there is one opinion in the Gemara, it's a Sugya Yevamos, that holds Ein Bezdin Mitzuvin Lafrisho. But even according to that opinion, the father, the Av, is Mitzuvin Lafrisho, has to separate the child and prevent him from implementing this Avera. So why is it called Hevel Shein Bo Chet? So the Nahora Doraisa gives the following answer, which is a little bit ambiguous. It's a bit vague. He says, Mikol makom, kevan shehu atzmo eino mitzuva. In other words, he doesn't have to separate himself from sin because he doesn't have sin. It's the father, or Bezdin, who has to separate him. Therefore, nikra hevel shein bo chet. According to the Nahora Doraisa, we don't find that the child himself has to separate himself from aver because he doesn't have chet. He's an Eina Mitzuva, he doesn't have the command. And the Nahora Doraisa wants to prove his point by quoting the Alter Rebbe, the Baal Shulchan Aruch HaRav of Shnei Zalman, Rav Shnei Zalman Miladi, who writes in the first Perek that chayovim hatzibur lefroa schar talmid Torah ad yud gimel shana, that the obligation that's incumbent upon the community to pay a malamed higher and pay the salary of a malamed tinokos, because of this concept of hevel p.m. shel tinokos beis rava, says the Alter Rebbe, applies up until the age of 13. As long as the young man has not yet reached bar mitzvah, that he fits under the category of hevel p.m. she'ein bo chet. And why is that? Because as long as he's not a bar chiyuva, he's less than bar mitzvah, he has no chet. And the Zohar's language, as we saw before, is shalochatu mamish. Remember, we saw that language, which appears to indicate that we're talking about very young children who are not even capable of making a moral decision. That's what's called a katan shelo higia lechinuch. So the Nehorah d'Oraisa suggests that if you understand Tosfos as quoted by the Beis Yosef, this is Aruch Chaim Simon Shin Mem Gimel, a Tosfos in Shabbos. Tosfos says, "Hodei Amrinon, Katan Ochel Nevelos Ein Bez the Mitzugin Lafrisho Meir BeKatan Shel Lo Higia LeChinuch." That if we're not responsible for the actions of a child, let's say he's eating Nevela, that's because the child that we're dealing with is Lo Higia LeChinuch. The Bigia Lechinuch, Kevin Shechayev Lechancho, Kolshke, the Tzorch Lafisha, Shloyasa, Avera. So the language of Tosis indicates that as the child matures, even though he's less than Bar Mitzvah, but he reached the age of Chinuch, and he should know better than to eat Nevela, then we have to be Machrish, and we have to separate himself from the child, from the Nevela because of the Avera of the child eating Nevela. Mashma, what we see from this, we don't accept this distinction that we tried to suggest before, that there's a difference between Bezdin and the father. That katan ochel nevel shlo yigia lechinuch ein Bezdin v'lo aviv mitzuvim lafrisho v'lachen kishi yigia lechinuch havi hevel sheyesh bo chet. So we have now a dichotomy here between the halacha, the way we understood it, based on the Gemara and Shabbos, that the reason why Bezdin has to establish schools for the Tinoko Shel Beis Rabban is because up until Bar Mitzvah, they could be considered Hevel She'ein Bo Chet. That's one approach. The other approach says no. Hevel Shein Bo Chet only applies to a very young child who hasn't yet reached the age of Chinuch. Let's say he's 6 years old, he's 7 years old, but once he reaches those ages of 7 or 8, he's a Gil Chinuch, he's mature enough to understand what it means to fulfill the mitzvahs and not violate the Averos. At that point, according to the way we're understanding Tosfos, quoted by the Beis Yosef, there is chet, there is avera, and therefore, once he's reached chinuch, then we have to be mafreshim because he's capable of an avera. If he's capable of an avera at that mature level, even before godless, he's still a katan, he's not bar mitzvah, then he has hevel sheyesh bo chet. So then the question is, what's Tashbar? What is Teinoka Shel Beis Rabba? Is it a child up to the age of 13? Or is it a child up to the age of Chinuch? And this has tremendous repercussions for the entire halach that we've been studying for the last couple of weeks. Namely, the financial obligation that's incumbent upon the tzibur to pay the salary of a teacher for the children in the Talmud Torah. If you're going to assume that Hevel She'ein Bo Chet takes us all the way to the age of Bar Mitzvah, then we should have to support the education of the children up to the age of Bar Mitzvah. If, on the other hand, you assume it's only Ad She'igia L'Chinuch, then it's Ein Bo Chet.
and that hevel of a child of, let's say, 5 or 6 is keeping up the universe, then we have a financial obligation for those children up until that time. But once he reaches the age of chinuch, where we said that bez the mitzvah lafrisho because of his maisa avera, then it becomes hevel sheyesh bo chet, and then the tzibur doesn't have to pay for the education of this child who reached the age of chinuch. And that's a pretty radical conclusion. I would be hard pressed to accept that once the child reaches the age of chinuch, we no longer have the responsibility to pay for his education.
So can I ask a question? So does that mean, so is one of the problems that if we say that up until bar mitzvah he doesn't have chait, so why do we have to lahafrish him from?
Correct.
That's the question.
Like, that is the question.
That's the question, right? So
there are two issues here, and they seem to be interdependent. What we say, haba atalya. One issue is, are we mechuyev to be mafreshim from an avera, meaning is he capable of performing what we call halachically an avera? The other issue is, do we have to support his education? Now, it sounds like two questions that have zero in common with each other, but yet, what links them together is this concept of Ein ha'olam miskayim el behevel piyam shel tinokus v'beis rama.
But there's another answer. Like, we could give another answer when I don't know if this is the best example. Like, of eating something. Isn't there a whole concept of if you eat something that's not kosher?
Okay, oh, the impact it might have on
you—that's right. The impact on the soul and all this. The impact
right.
on the nefesh or whatever. So it could be that you have to be mafrish the katan, not because it's chait,
right?
But you still have to mafrish it because of the fact it's going to be just in the same way that an anus would be patur. If you ate non kosher, there would still be an impact on
right. it. But so our discussion here is based on the premise that nevela is just an example of any avera.
We're not want to pick that one.
Right. And if you're focused on the language of Tosfos in Shabbos, in Perakol Kisvei, which is quoted here by the Beis Yosef, it says that Bezin's mitzuvin lafrisho shelo yasa avera. Now, he's not talking about the impact of the macholos asuras as it's digested and enters into his bloodstream, or his soul, the impact on it. He's talking about an avera, what we call a mais avera. And he's claiming that even in a katan shelo igiyah l'chinuch, where perhaps you could suggest that the impact of the nevela in the body of even a young child might have some impact, but the answer is no. We don't, and nobody's claiming that we have to be mafresh the katan at that young age. What about the impact of the treif ice cream?
Well, I think, yeah.
Apparently, the impact of nevela itself is a function of the mais avera. If there's a mais avera, it'll have an impact. If it's not a mais avera, it won't have an impact. I mean, this has to be studied. For example, what happens in a case where somebody forces you to eat nevela at gunpoint? So nevela is not one of the big three, and therefore, unless it's for farhesia, you're obligated to eat the nevela in this case.
Right.
Now,
because
what happens when you're obligated to eat nevela? Does it have that impact?
Right.
Let's
take
the case of a chola sheyesh bo sakon. He has to eat nevela. No questions asked. He's got the doctor's orders. So it could be that whenever there's no avera in eating it, then that element power or force within the macholos asuras to have a negative impact on you doesn't apply.
So what about the shishin then? Also, then I guess it becomes kosher.
Yeah, maybe something like that too. Maybe bittul changes the iser into heter, and it no longer has any impact on you. You're allowed to eat the whole taruah
because nevela,
or a guy is allowed to eat nevela, right? So maybe in the case of a guy, you know, with whatever selam elokim he has, the nevela won't have any negative impact on the guy.
So is it just nevela because trefus is a matter of having a kabbalistic impact upon the soul, as opposed to other historians which don't have that problem?
I think it is.
Right. That's called Macholos Asuras Metamtem Es Halev. That's a Gemara in Kulis.
Right. It's so considered worse. That's maybe why you have to separate. That's considered worse than other Avedos.
I'm not sure worse. Again, that statement of Chazal about Metamtem Es Halev more or less belongs to the metaphysics, not to the halacha.
No, but it may affect the fact that you have to keep a young child away from it.
See, that's what I was saying.
So that's what I'm telling Ira, that I think you'd have to teach a young child away from it if it's an avera. You don't start with Macholos Asuras Metamtem Es Halev. That's not your first.
Right.
What you start
right.
with
that's
is the avera, and then you get to Metamtem Es Halev. So the tumah that that the contamination that impacts the soul is a result of the fact that it's an aveira. We have many cases where not only are you allowed to eat nevela, but you're required to eat nevela. V'chay b'hem v'lo she'yamos b'hem. Are we going to say that he eats the veil and at the same time he has the impact?
Right.
So the answer is that, you know, it's very interesting because the veil could be also to you and mutter to me. If let's say I'm a chole or in many different instances, or it's also to a guy, it's also to Yisrael and it's mutter to a guy, and you may have many, many different scenarios where that same piece of the veil is also to him, and mutter to him.
Everything works like that, but the goy, everything works like that.
Yeah. No, wait, just one second. I'm sorry if I didn't mean to, when I mentioned the goy, I didn't mean to veer us off the main path. All I'm trying to say is that when we say that there's something called a chefta di sura, that means the isur is inherent in the chefet, that doesn't mean it's objective for all times and all places.
Right.
The concept of chefta di sura is a halachic concept. Right. It's a legal concept. Is, and legally, whatever power the object has is because for you it's asur, even though for someone else it's mutter.
Right.
All right, let's not get too far carried away. We want to plug back in here because we want to see what we can get out of this Nahora Doraisa that we discussed a minute ago. And we're looking here at the fourth paragraph on page one. It seems that there's a machlokes how to define tinoko shel beis ramon.
Right.
Whether it's until the age of bar mitzvah or it's until he reaches the age of chinuch. And the nafkamin is going to be how far do we extend the financial obligation that's incumbent upon the community to pay for the education of the children. It's all based on hevel piyam shel tinoko shel beis ramon. Does that mean tinokos up until the age of bar mitzvah, or it means tinokos up until the age of chinuch? Now, if it means up to the age of chinuch, then we have to start analyzing what is the shear of chinuch. Is it 6 or 7? Then it becomes very strange, because the Rambam is going to tell us that at what age do you bring the children to the school? In other words, a child when he's very, very young is homeschooled. At what point do you bring him to the community school? So that's the Rambam Halacha Beis. I think we discussed this in the past. The Rambam says, Machnisas tinokas l'sami kiben sheish, kiben sheva. When they're either 6 or 7. But that's exactly the age of Higil Chinuch. So when is the community responsible for paying their tuition?
But didn't we say until he knows Torah Shavachtav?
No, I'm asking a different question. When do we begin the process of paying for his education? What is the minimum age that we take in? So the Rambam says, Machnisin asatinokas l'slami kiben sheish kiben sheva. Up until the age of 6 or 7, he's at home with his father. His father's teaching him Torah Tzivul on Moshe and Shema Yisrael and all the rest. That's homeschooling.
Okay.
At what point in his life do we bring him to the school? He's got to be a little bit mature.
Okay.
He's 6 or 7, the Rambam says. No, at that age, he's already Higil Chinuch.
Right.
If he would eat Nevela at that very age, we would have to be Makrishim from the Avera coin to that sheet of Tosis.
Right.
No, so then he doesn't have the status of Tinoko Shoveis Raman of Hevel PM, Hevel Sheim Bochet. He's already capable of an Avera. So at what point, there's a zero point. It's the law of the excluded middle here. You have no point in which you have to educate the child. That can't be. So therefore, we're going to have to come up with a different age of chinuch in order to get by this odd combination or interdependence of higil chinuch and tinoko shel beis ramon. So let's quote the Rambam in the 17th chapter of Macholos Asuras. The Rambam says, "Afal pisha ein bezdim mitzuvin lahafrish sakotin mitzvah aviv liga arbo ulafrisho kdei lechancho b'kedusha shedemar chanoch lenar al pi darko." So the Ritva, in his comment on this Rambam in Masechet Yevamos, says that the Rambam writes that if he's gia lechinuch chayav aviv lafrisho. So it means that the father has to make sure once the child reaches the age of chinuch that he doesn't perform any averus. But unfortunately, neither the Rambam nor the Ritva give us a clue as to what age is the age for chinuch. There's no age that's pinpointed here. Let's see if we can get something out of the sugya in Megillah, maybe that'll shed a light on it. If you take a look on Daf Yutes Amid Beis, Hakol Ksherim Likros Es HaMegillah Chutz Micheret Shota Bekot. V'amedvar Amurim Bekot Shelo Yigilachinah Hakot Shigilachinah Kosher Afil Lechatchila Shereb Yehuda Machsher Bekot. So we don't necessarily accept Rabbi Yehuda's shita that a katan could read Megillah on behalf of a gadol and be motzi him if he's a gil lechinuch, but this is at least a window through which we can get an idea how old is a katan she gil lechinuch, because we're asking the question according to Rabbi Yehuda, at what age can the katan read the Megillah on behalf of a gadol because he's a gil lechinuch? So Rabbeinu Chananel on the spot there in Megillah Yutes says trei gavne katan. There are two categories of a katan: reisha b'katan shelo igia lechinuch, v'hu kinisnan v'perek yom kippurim tinokos ein ma'ananoson b'yom kippurim. So there's one category called shelo igia lechinuch that should be identified with the child who, according to the Mishnah in Yom HaKippurim, does not fast on Yom Kippur. But the Mishnah says that at what age does the child have to fast? Avo mechanchino son lifnei shana oshnasai. That we should train the children to fast 1 or 2 years before Bar Mitzvah. So what age are we talking about now?
11 or 12.
Kedei l'argilon l'mitzvahs. V'yomer Rabbi Yochanan ben Eser ben Achadesre mechanchino son l'shos. There's a second opinion that how do we say makes it prior. What word am I looking for? That
earlier.
Yeah, but no, I'm looking lahakdim. How do you say in English lahakdim that he
come first?
That he earlyizes it. Okay, there should be a word in English for that. That he makes it even earlier, not 11 or 12, but even at the age of 10 and 11, mechanchinos on l'shos. Therefore, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, when we hook up Rabbi Yehuda Shita in Kriyas HaMegillah that a katan higia l'chinuch can read the Megillah for a gadol, together with the Mishnah in Yom HaKippurim about at what age does a child have to start fasting, that's the breakthrough here of Rabbeinu Chananel, then it would seem that katan shehigia l'chinuch is from the age of 11. That gives me a certain sigh of relief here. Because if we're going to say that after the age of 11 the child is capable of doing an avera, and if we have to separate him from the avera, then we now have a window, we have a range of a number of years from the time that the child is brought to the school until the time that the child is capable of an aver and becomes hevel sheish pochet, from the age of 6 or 7 up to the age of 11. I mean, that doesn't give us much, but it's better than nothing. Before we had 0. So now let's say if you start teaching the child in school at the age of 6, you've got a full 5 years until he reaches the age of higil l'chinuch of 11. So for those 5 years, the community is responsible to financially foot the bill for the education of that child. Is that clear? Again, it's only this. It's only from Rabbeinu Chananel that I get the impression that the age of chinuch is 11. Again, just to repeat, because Rabbeinu Chananel links up Rabbi Yehuda Shita in Katan Shigil Lechinuch with regard to Megillah reading, together with the Mishnah in Yuma of a katan shegil lechinuch that mechanchino son lis'anos, they should be trained to fast. By making that linkage, we come to the conclusion that higil lechinuch is the age of 11.
That's only if the father doesn't pay.
Right.
Right? That's all only if the father doesn't pay, right?
Right. If the father pays, that's totally irrelevant
right,
to our whole discussion.
Right, okay.
You know, the father could pay, you know, for the best tutor in the world,
right,
you know,
right.
If he has the wherewithal to do so. But if he doesn't, he's going to rely on the public school, which is funded by the communal chest under the law that we've been learning now for a good couple of weeks of Perek Beis, Milchus Tam Torah L'Chaalef. So how many years of education does that public school have to afford, soaping, if you will, soaking up the funds of the tzibur? And the answer now seems to be that 5-year span, the range between the age of 6 and the age of 11.
But didn't we have the same question for Torah Shabbat Tov?
It's very similar in structure to what we've discussed about Torah Shabbat Tov.
Didn't we have that same question that the communal responsibility
is limited
to Torah Shabbat Tov? And then we asked, at what point does the person, right,
have to pick up Torah Shabbat
Tov?
And therefore the father has to pick up the tab. He's got to pay the extra money. If he wants a smaller class and some more private attention for Torah Shabbat Tov, he's got to foot the bill. We won't pick that up. But I still think that our discussion is relevant because, you know,
it's not relevant. Doesn't it tie in?
I don't see how it ties in exactly. In other words, again, you may have two answers to the following question. At what point do we say to the father, buddy, you shell out? So there may be two different answers, and they're both correct. Answer number one is, if you, Mr. So-and-so, want to fund a private tutor or a smaller class for Torah Shabbat Peh, you fit the bill. That's one answer. There's another answer, which is equally correct, that your child is already higil chinuch, he's already capable of chet, he's a hevel sheyesh bo chet. You have to pick up the bill for that. We don't have to pay for that education. I think both answers are correct. I mean, you may have an 11-year-old who's still learning Torah Shabbat Sav. You may have a 9-year-old who's already precocious, he's ready for Torah Shabbat Peh. You'll need two answers to this question. If the child has outdistanced all the other students in the class, meaning he's already ready for Torah Shabbat Peh, Torah Shabbat Sav is boring for him, it's a repetition of what he already knows, at that point we may come to the conclusion that the ball bounces back into the court of the father and he's got to pay the bills. We're not going to hire a special tutor for him. If, on the other hand, there are 25 kids who want to learn Mishnah, and they're all capable of learning Mishnah, they've graduated from the Torah Shabbat Sav school, and now they're ready for the Torah Shabbat Peh school, then it's quite possible that once we have a filled-up class of 25, we're going to hire a Rebbe to teach Mishnah. If a father wants a smaller class because his kid is precocious, and he's 9, and he's already ready for Mishnah, then the father has to pay that out of his own pocket. Mm-hmm. And the flip side of this is when a child reaches the age of 11, according to one particular mahalach, again, this is based on Tosfos, that Hevel Piyam depends upon Higil Lechinuch or Lo Higil Lechinuch. Not like our initial assumption, if you go back to the third paragraph of the Nahora Doraisa, that Hevel Shein Bochein is up until the age of Shtei Saras, and there was some support for that approach in Rav Shneur Zalman Miladi, who says Chayov Matzivu Lefroa Schar Talmud Torah Ad Yud Gimel Shana. So let's not forget that there is definitely a school of Chachamim that would claim that up until the age of 13 Bar Mitzvah, we the Tzibur have to take on the financial burden of guaranteeing the education of these children. Because they're still considered Tinoka Shal Beis Rabban because of Hevel Piyam Shal Tinoka up until the age of 13. There is such a school. Most of what we've been discussing is been focused on the second opinion that's traced to Tosus in Perikol Kisvei. But I don't want you to lose sight of the fact that there would definitely, if somebody comes in here and says, oh, Tashbar is up until the age of Bar Mitzvah, don't laugh him out. Right. Don't boot him out of the base matches. He's not saying stupidities. There is such an opinion. So let's now raise a following hakira. You know, we always love hakiras, in which you can define one halach in two ways. And this you'll find in the next to the last paragraph on page 1. The bir yisod ha-plukta nira di'esh lachar ma'adin katan sha'avar aver. Ha'im ma'isa katan chashivei ma'isa aver al pi din rakator patrosu mi'onshim o dilma ein ma'aseu ma'isa aver klal to katan mufka mi'isa aver. How do we understand the halach of a katan? Again, if it's lo higil chinuch, he's a baby, he's not capable of ma'isa aver, no way, no how. That's not even on the table for discussion. But if he's a more mature katan, he can make moral decisions. The Torah says he's potter until he's a gadol, until he's 13. What does that mean? How do you define that concept of ptur? And if you follow me on this one, Rabosai, you're really going to get an insight into the Brisker methodology. Because this is what I call a classic paradigm
of a brisker chakira. What is the nature of this p'tur? Is this p'tur a hafkas maisa, or is it a separate p'tur onshin? Meaning, when we say that a katan is patur until he becomes bar mitzvah, or we just alleviate him of punishment, he's not so mature that we can hold him liable and throw him into jail or give him malchus, but really he's capable of a maisa avera, he's mature enough to make that decision. Or are we saying no? That what the Torah meant to say is that a katan, until he's a gadol, is incapable legally, halachically, of a maisa avera. Again, a maisa avera is a chal shem. It's something that has to be generated by halachic categories, not by moralistic categories. You know, you may come to the conclusion that if you go to an ethicist, he'll tell you for sure that a 12-year-old is guilty as accused. He is mature enough to make that decision. Although I have to admit to you that in most legal systems, I don't know how it is here in Canada, a minor goes up to the age, I think, of 16.
It varies
based. It varies, yeah. There's lots
drinking
of,
is
yeah,
different than driving. Yeah,
yeah. Oh, it depends on the avera itself.
Voting,
does it change from province to province?
Yeah,
it might also change.
Yeah. Truancy is different. There's all sorts of different.
Voting, okay. Drinking, everything.
Okay. So I'd have to read a very good article on this in order to become a scholar. But it's very interesting that there are certain parallels here between systems, legal systems. In the case of halacha, what's unclear in my mind is whether or not we're just saying that we can't find the katan liable in the sense of punishable for his criminal acts, but he too is capable of a maisa avera, or are we saying he doesn't have a maisa avera at all? And again, this question really touches at the heart of everything we've been discussing now about hevel piyam shel tinokus beis rabban, which, as we said, is shalochatu. It's a hevel without chet, and that's not a term that we invented in the 21st century. It goes all the way back to the Gemara and Shabbos Kuf Yutes that we began with. That what's unique and what's upgraded about the Torah study of a child, or we'll call it a minor, is that it's hevel she'ein bo chet. Well, what does that mean? Ein bo chet? Maybe a katan does have chet from the age of chinuch. So what I want to call to your attention is a fascinating Rambam. We're discussing this Rambam in the morning here. We're learning a sugya about, it's called Harei At Harufasi. You know, normally a man says to a woman, Harei At Mekudeshesli. But sometimes, in a fluky situation, he says Harei At Harufasi. Do you remember this?
From
I don't know if it rings a bell.
There was a whole list of like 10 different terms.
Right. But most of you remember, you know, as Rossi, Skurossi, they all come from that
Pasuk.
Excellent.
Right.
Beautiful. Now, if a man has relations with a Shifcha Harufa, that means a woman who is designated to a... Okay, wait.
It's a half-freed slave woman, isn't it?
Yeah, just one second. A woman who's designated to an Eved, okay? Let's assume. Okay. So an Eved is allowed to have some sort of designation, we'll call it Yichud or Mucheteslo or a quasi-Ishus with a Shivcha, who's either a complete Shivcha Koy Tarbi Shpol or a Chetzi Shivcha Chetzi Avaschon Koy Tarbi Kiva. So we're enjoined from having relations with that woman because she's Harufaso, meaning she's, again, we'll call it a quasi kind of marriage relationship to this Eved. And if you violate that Isur, then you have to bring what's called an Asham Shivcha Harufa, a Karban Asham. What happens if a 9-year-old boy would have relations with this Shivcha? According to Halacha, once a male reaches the age of 9, his Bia is considered a Bia. That's a halachic category. It's not something that you can it's not in biological or psychological terms. It's pure legal status. Just like the Vilna Gaon is not bar mitzvah until he's 13, no matter how precocious he is, and he can know Kol Tarkul at the age of 6. Which, by the way, I don't know if that's an exaggeration. I think the stories might be true. But there's a shear of godless, and that shear of godless is the age of 12. In the case of Bia, it's the age of 9. So the Rambam writes in Isurei Bia, Ben Teisha Shon of Yomechet Shebal Shivcha Harufa, he loka. She gets Malkus, For who may be karma? Rav Goldwick would say, Pil'ei Pla'im. This is mind-boggling. A child who's responsible, he's liable for his action at the age of 9 to such an extent that he's chayv to bring a karma. What? Trust me, my friends, this is something like in the halachic Ripley's Believe It or Not. You know, it's famish off the charts. V'hu shetiyeh gdola uba'ula ubertzon. In other words, you need a number of conditions to be fulfilled. She has to be a gdola and a ba'ula, and has to be miritzona. She'ena ish chayv karban, and she's chayv hi malkus. Fine. So his chayv karban is dependent upon her chayv malkus. The Ravid says the following. Zeh shibush. This is a mistake. Wow, that's a heavy accusation against the Rambam. Shalomatzinu katan bar onshin. We never find that a katan gets punished for his actions. The karban zem in a onshim hu. This karban is imposed on a person as a punishment. Vehi kmochen ptura toha makshu hadadi. V'hachi isa v'krisis. So the Ravid says that in such a case that he's a katan, there's no way that he could be subject to punishment and bring a karban. The question is, what does the Rambam hold? So I think what the Rambam is saying is that a katan has a ma'is avera. Again, in Bia, he has got to be a ventes, not less. But the katan has to bring a karban, not because we punish him in the classical sense, but the karban is brought as a kapara for the ma'is avera. Less than ventes, he doesn't have a Bia, and it's not a ma'is avera. Once he's ventes, he has a bia, and he has to bring a karban because of the avera that he committed. Aye, the Ravid says that a katan is not bar onshin. The answer is karban is different than onshin. We can never give him malchus or anything like that, but we can give him, impose on him an obligation to bring a karban. The Ravid, I don't know. Either the Ravid agrees that a katan has a ma'is avera, but he holds that a karban is a punishment in this case. That seems to be indicative of his language. Or maybe the Ravid holds that a katan doesn't even have a ma'is avera, and that's why he patters up the shivcha in this case. But in the Rambam, I think it's crystal clear that a katan has a ma'is avera. And therefore, if you turn to page 2, with regard to tashbar, meaning hevel sheyesh bo chet or hevel shein bo chet, it would seem that a katan is capable of a ma'is avera. And that would link up the Rambam with the sheet of Tosfos in at the end of Shabbos over there, Perikol Kisvei, that when we say that a katan doesn't have a ma'is aver, we're talking about a katan shelo igil l'chinuch. But once he's igil l'chinuch, he has a ma'is aver, it becomes hevel sheyesh bo chet.
That's when he's 9.
Okay, so in the case of Bia, you need that he'd be 9.
But he could only be.
But he's a katan shegil chinuch way before he reaches the age of 9.
But you don't think it just means?
It just means case? That he's not chayav a karban for bia shivcha charuf until he's 9, because he's not capable of a ma'isa bia. Right. But as far as all averus is concerned, we don't have to wait until he's 9. Uh-huh. But let's not fall into any traps over here. So that's one shita which now we can link up as a school of thought that's not just Tosus but also the Rambam, that egil chinuch is already Hevel sheyesh bo chet, he has a ma'is avera, and therefore the community would no longer be responsible for his education. Masha enkein l'das Shulchan Aruch Rav, according to the Alter Rebbe, who says up front that tinoka shel beis Rabban is up until the age of 13, then I think we have to go a step further and say that katan is not just a p'tur of onshin, we're not just alleviating him from punishment because he's too frail to get malchus, but rather that he's mufka from ma'is avera. He doesn't have a ma'is avera, and therefore his hevel is a hevel shein bo chet. Again, if you'll ask me why is a katan chayav a karban in the case of ben tes shebal shivcha charufa, I don't know. We're going to have to say something like the fact that a carbon is not an onesh or something like that. But not that a katan has a ma'is avera. It's hevel sheinbo chet.
But the only question you're going to have to ask, according to the Rav Shulchan Aruch, is why is it cut off the veils based on the mitzvah lafrisho? And everybody agrees that his father has to be mafreshim. So obviously, as a ma'isa avera, nira ditzarch lomo l'shita zu dechiyuv karban bekatan habal shivcha harufa hu gzeres hakosmi yucheres pash shivcha harufa debias katan b'shivcha harufa k'shivu ma'isa avera l'chayv karban. Yeah, but that's as far as Bias Shivcha Charuf, you could say the Torah changed this halachia, made him responsible at least to bring a karbon, maybe it's a kapara for a Maisa Vera of Bia. You know, okay, that's a separate Bezudra halacha, halacha miyucheres in Bia. But what are you going to say about Bezna Mitzugel Afrisho? So we're going to suggest something really radical here, that even if I grant you that Kutin is not capable of a Maisa Vera, we still have to separate him from this Havera. Not because he's going to perform a Maisa Vera, but because he's going to get used to a certain pattern of behavior, which includes that Havera. In other words, the mitzvah chinuch is not dependent upon the Maisa Vera. The mitzvah of Mitzuvin Lafrisho is Kedela Gilo B'mitzvos. Now let's turn the clock back to page 1. And we saw the Rambam in Hilchos Machos Sur Perek Yuzayin. It says, Mitzvah Oviv Ligar Bo Lachri Ulafrisho Kidei Lechancho B'Kedusha. I think that what the Rambam means by Kedusha is means, let's get him used to a certain pattern of living, a certain behavior pattern, which entails mitzvos and not averos. It doesn't mean that his maisa technically, legally, according to the rules of halacha, is a maisa avera. A katan is not capable of maisa avera, but with mitzvah, the mitzvah that we have here is lechancho b'kedusha, largilo b'mitzvos. And we do find such a thing, that sometimes chinuch is not dependent upon a maisa mitzvah, a maisa avera, but rather on lechancho b'mitzvos, to get him used to mitzvos, to get him used to an atmosphere of kedusha. Now, perhaps we can bring a raya to the side of Tosfos and the Rambam that a katan has a maisa avera from a sugya in Sanhedrin. This is the fourth paragraph on your page, on page 2. The question is, there's something called a shor haniskal. What's a shor haniskal? When do you stone an animal? When do you kill an animal? If A, he killed a human being, or B, if a very immoral act was right. done with this animal. I think it's called sodomy. Now, supposing a katan, a child, would have sodomy with an animal, does that animal get skila? So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that in fact the animal will get skila if a katan is 9 years old or older. Now, l'chora, in order to be sokel the animal, what you need is a maisa vera. If a katan was mufka from a maisa vera, it's hard to believe that the shar would be niskal. The skilas hashar is because of this kalon, the Gemara talks about, kuf lamed vav nun, the fact that this animal, so to speak, tripped up a human being, a Jew, in a terrible avera, and therefore the animal gets skila. I'm not touching on the question whether the animal had any freedom of choice or not, but kalon means there's a certain, like almost embarrassment attached to the animal. As long as the animal's walking on 4 feet, and people point to that animal and say that animal was part and parcel, was a partner in such a terrible avera, that's called kalon. And in fact, it would seem that if we assume that the katan
could generate a skila of the animal, Rabbi Kivega points out that that should be problematic if you hold a katan ein bez the mitzvah lafrisha. Meaning, you see that we don't have to be mafresh him from an aver because the katan is not capable of an aver. So why do we kill the shor if the shor had this action done with a katan? The katan's not shayach, how we say, he's not in the capacity, he doesn't have the capacity of a maisa aver. So Rav Kivei gives the following answer. This you'll see in the last few lines of this paragraph, and then we'll call it a night. El al karchach the chas rachman alei haynu da torah chas alei v'lo rami alei mitzvos b'chiyuvim v'imroim shakotan rotsa lavad avodazorim v'chiyuvim lafrisha dolezer rachman v'klal v'kotan al kein hodi amin takola ika haynu v'komkam kevan sha'osa b'shat nafsho inyin shebegad luso yi avera mikri takola. It's interesting, Rabbi Kivega has to expand the definition of takola to understand this. He's saying that a katan is not capable of a maisa aveira. But nevertheless, we're going to kill the shor because the act that was done with the shor, had it been perpetrated by a gadol, had this same person performed, implemented this aveira a few years from now, that aveira would be a takola and would cause the trigger off the halacha of skilas ashar, then even when this act is performed by a katan, which is not a maisa avera, we're still going to kill the shor. But be that as it may, we see here two shitas opening in front of us. One shita seems to assume that a katan is capable of a maisa avera. He'll be punished for his crime in the case of a bentesa bal shivcha harufa. And another shita will insist that a katan doesn't have a maisa avera. And that's certainly the opinion of Rabbi Kivega, and it goes back to the opinion of the Alter Rebbe with regard to Tashbar. And everything ties into that discussion about when is it considered Ein Bahem Hevel Piyah, I mean, we have to support them. Is it up until a certain age with regard to a cut until he's Igil, once he's Igil, he has a Maisa Vera? No. All the way straight through till he becomes a God. Okay then?
Yeah, sure.
All right, we'll stop here.